Now, from Luke chapter 19, we're going to see how our God made a sinful one like Zacchaeus his chosen, precious child. Open your Bibles then at Luke chapter 19, please. And as we do that, I'm going to pray. Lord, we ask that you would still our minds, engage our hearts, speak to us, we pray, through your word, that we might hear the voice of Jesus calling us and saying, truly salvation has come to this place today. For his name's sake, amen. Amen. Now on the screen you'll see Micah chapter 6 verse 8. And we know that we're going through a little series here on Sunday mornings. Probably finish next week now. And it's a series where we're looking at Jesus fulfilling this verse in Micah chapter 6, verse 8, that says, God has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Act justly, love mercy, walk humbly. And those things are seen perfectly in the life of Jesus. Not just that he did them, but he did them attractively as well. He showed how we should act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly. And so far we've seen Jesus doing this in three events. At a well in Samaria with a woman, at a meal with tax collectors and sinners, and in Jerusalem on what we know as Palm Sunday. In each one of those situations, Jesus did all three things. He is our model, he is our example, and we are called to walk in his steps. Well, today then, we look at Jesus fulfilling these three things with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, we know a few things about him. We know that he was a rich man, and we know where he lived. Verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho. Jericho, famous in the Old Testament with its battle and Joshua and so on, but a place that should never have been rebuilt. Jericho had become a place for commerce. Main roads went through Jericho, leading north, south, and east. And Jericho was a cursed place that should never have been around after Joshua's time. But into this cursed place came the blessed Savior. And in that place, blessing was about to abound. The occupation of Zacchaeus, we're told in verse 2, that he was a chief tax collector. That was his employment. And that would have made him one of the most unpopular guys in town. It tells us a lot about his character as well. The tax collectors were rare breeds. They were a special type. They must have had thick skin. They were hated by just about everyone. As we mentioned before a few weeks ago, many of us, and most of us at some time or other, will moan about the amount of taxes we have to pay. But none of us has a personal antipathy or hatred towards a tax collector. We just blame the system. But in Israel at those times, they hated the person of the tax collector. So Zacchaeus would have been a hated man. The tax man worked for Rome. They were agents of Rome, the enemy, the occupying force in Israel. And taxmen collected what was necessary for Rome to complete its civil duties. But also the taxman added a little bit for himself as well, to make himself rich. So if a fisherman caught 100 fish, then the taxman would decide, I will take 70 of those fish, and I will sell them for myself and give what I need to Rome and keep some for myself. And so on with all kinds of different produce. And Zacchaeus, we're told, wasn't just a tax collector, but he was the chief tax collector. So he not only took money off of his own people, but he also took money off of other tax collectors. He was, in Bruce Lee speak, the big boss. And so he was despised by all. Nevertheless, he was really rich. At the end of verse 2, we read that he was wealthy. Boy, he was wealthy, as we'll see. Compared to his neighbors, he had so much. His house was better, his land was bigger, his furnishings were richer, his clothes were finer, his servants were more, and everyone knew that it was their money that he was building all that with. And there's nothing they could do about it. He was callous and calculating. He'd rob his own people to make himself richer. Let them live in poverty, but let him live in riches. So verse 7 tells us how people regarded Zacchaeus. All the people saw this and began to mutter that Jesus has gone to be the guest of a sinner. A derogatory term usually used for those living a non-Christian Jewish lifestyle at that time, a pagan lifestyle, a lifestyle of non-covenant people. Yes, Zacchaeus, let's count him amongst the pagans, the sinners. So Zacchaeus was a greedy man who had lived for so much, for gain and for getting. And for him, life was all about how much he could accumulate, how much money he could make, how wealthy he could become, how much he could get. And in that, he represents a great many people in our world. So many people live only for money. They see the whole of life through the lens of money. Now, there's levels of intensity in this, of course, but so many people think that life is just about money, and that's all some poor people live for. And Zacchaeus was a man who was prepared to pay a personal price for wealth. I mean, he obviously couldn't have cared too much about popularity and friendship. He just wanted money. And there are many people around like that as well. They sacrifice friendships, health, family, and God in order to make money. So here was Zacchaeus, a rich man who had everything that money could buy. And yet, there's a clue in this text that shows us that this rich man was far from satisfied. Indeed, he was restless in his riches. The scriptures tell us that whoever loves money never has money enough. And whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. That too, says Ecclesiastes, is meaningless. So Zacchaeus, the rich man, is also Zacchaeus, the very unsatisfied man. Look at his extreme actions in verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see Jesus, since he was coming that way. So here's amazing lengths that Zacchaeus would go to in verse 4. He's going to climb this sycamore fig tree. Now get this in your mind about how odd this was. It's really strange. This wealthiest man in the city climbing a tree to see the poorest man in the world. It's actually ludicrous. For Zacchaeus wouldn't have been the only one in the trees. If there was a great crowd and people were trying to see who Jesus was, then there would have been others up in the trees as well. And probably little children, boys and girls. And Zacchaeus, this really wealthy guy who's in charge of the tax office of Jericho, climbs the tree with the boys and girls. It is daft. It's laughable, really. People usually trembled before Zacchaeus, and now they see him up a tree. I suggest there were smirks and smiles and laughs at his expense. So why does he do so? Why does he go to such great lengths? Because we read in verse 3, he wanted to see who Jesus was. He was a seeker. Who is this man? I must see him. I want to see Jesus. That's what's going on in his heart at this time. I've got all this wealth, I've got all this money, but is he feeling empty? Is he feeling like there's something going on here that I haven't got? And he climbs a tree. Yes, he's not satisfied with his money. There's something deeply unsatisfying about just having money. For you always think, I could have more. People who have money are usually unsatisfied with their savings interests or the markets or their dividends or their projected benefits. And there's something here within Zacchaeus that money could not fill. So Zacchaeus wants something more than money. I must see Jesus. He's an unsatisfied man. But is there something yet more going on in his life? Is his conscience pricked? Was he battling with a bad conscience? At night time, maybe, in his dreams or waking moments, having visions of people that he'd robbed and wronged, did they go through his mind and keep him awake at night? Maybe in the daytime, maybe did he look around his house and his furnishings and wonder who they really belonged to? That hard-working farmer, that exhausted fisherman. As I suggest, Zacchaeus feels guilty. He's got a guilty conscience, and that's a horrible thing to have. And he wants release. So he wants satisfaction for his soul, because your money can't reach your soul. And he wants peace for his guilty conscience. So he wants to see Jesus. Is it this man that can fully satisfy me? And is it this man that can give me peace for my guilty conscience? So he climbs a tree. Now, when you're in urgent need, you don't particularly care what you look like. If there's an emergency, you don't stop to do your hair, even put your shoes on. If there's an emergency, if it's urgent, you just do it. You get out of that place, do what needs to be done. So Zacchaeus climbs the tree because this is a matter of life and death for him. This is urgent. For all his high-ranking job title, chief tax collector, for all his money, he was very wealthy, for all his possessions, yet there's still something missing in his life. So he wants to see Jesus. He didn't want a sermon. He didn't want a dose of dogma. He didn't want a download of doctrine or a seminar on the ethics of greed and the need of the poor. He just wanted to see who Jesus was. And I suggest to you that we're like that sometimes as well. We just know we need Jesus. Yes, we can have all our doctrine books, we can have all our seminars and all our lectures and all our sermons, but sometimes we just say, my mind is too frazzled with the kids, my emotions are torn apart by my marriage, my stress levels are so high with my job, I can't take anything in. I can't listen to your teaching. I can't listen to your doctrine. I just need Jesus. And that was Zacchaeus. And there are times in our life when we're exactly the same. It's all important. Who is Jesus? If he's not who he said he was, then burn your Bibles. But if he is who he said he was, then he's the most important person in history ever, past, present, or future. And Zacchaeus knows, I've got to see who Jesus is. Maybe he's heard about Jesus through his friends, but I've got to see him for myself. And as Zacchaeus climbs that tree, and as he's waiting to see Jesus pass by, he's in for the greatest show on earth. The greatest thing ever's about to happen to him. The image of the invisible God is about to pass by that tree. Martin Luther said that Jesus is the mirror of God's fatherly heart. And he's about to pass by. The Word made flesh is about to be seen. The one who was before time is about to be seen. The one in whom all the riches of the Godhead dwelt bodily is about to stop under the tree that Zacchaeus is up. And Zacchaeus is not going to be disappointed. For this one who's passing by, he sticks with the blind and the cripples. This Jesus helps the widow in distress. And this Jesus is not too superior to play with children. And this Jesus eats with tax collectors and sinners. This Jesus is just the one that Zacchaeus needs. He wants to see Jesus. So he becomes the surprised man, verse 5. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Here's the first surprise in the passage. Jesus stops under that tree. And you get the image here now. Zacchaeus is up the tree, looking down into the face of Jesus. And Jesus is beneath the tree, looking up into the face of Zacchaeus. And Jesus speaks, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." This was amazing. And this was unexpected. And Jesus invites Zacchaeus to stop being a spectator in the tree and to start being a friend with him in the house. Another surprising move by Jesus of Nazareth. And here is humility. So here we see Micah 6 verse 8 in action. Jesus walking humbly. This King of Kings, this Lord of Lords that we sung about right at the beginning of our service this morning, this one who's crowned with many crowns, has gone into the house of a sinner, a tax collector. Jesus didn't consider himself too superior for Zacchaeus. No, Jesus is going there, into the house of a sinner. The Son of God into the house of a man who's cheated people out of money. The one who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills is going to recline on carpets and cushions that were brought with dodgy money. And people didn't like it in verse 7. They moaned, they muttered, they murmured. Well, Jesus often outraged people. But we see something quite remarkable here. What we see is not just Zacchaeus wanting to see Jesus, but we see Jesus seeking Zacchaeus. For here is God seeking worshippers. That's what Jesus told the woman at the well in Samaria. He said that the Father is seeking people who will worship him. And Jesus is doing exactly the same here in Jericho. Though Zacchaeus was going up the tree to see Jesus, but actually it was Jesus who was going through Jericho to find Zacchaeus. And the one Zacchaeus sought was already on the way to meet him. You take one step towards Jesus, he'll take 1,000 towards you. Zacchaeus was amazed. "He's called me by my name. Zacchaeus? He knows my name. I've been called a lot of names in my job," he says, but "you call me by my name? You know me?" And Jesus comes into his life. And here's a great encouragement for any of you that are seeking God. You're not saved. Maybe you're not saved. But you're seeking and you want to be saved. Well, I'll tell you that if Jesus spots in your life just a trace of spiritual hunger, then he will come to where you are and make himself known. And he will say, "Stop being a spectator and receive me into your life." Zacchaeus then, in receiving Jesus into his house, becomes a changed man. Look at his declaration in verse 8. "But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, here and now, no delay, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back 4 times the amount.'" Well, he must have been rich. It's amazing. It's radical. This is big. It's a public profession. He stands up. "I stood up," he says, "in his house." He's generous. Half his possessions to the poor. That was a massive amount of possessions. I'm giving half of them away right here and now. And it's not just he's giving half of his possessions to the poor, and it's not just that he's going to do restitution of money that he's stolen or taken away by dodgy means, but he says, "I'm going to do compensation. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'm going to pay back, not just the same, but 4 times the amount." There's a lot of people in Jericho who are suddenly going to have a lot of money on their hands. Zacchaeus' money, attitude towards money, and his vision for life was completely changed by his meeting with Jesus that day. He saw there was something more to life than riches and possessions. He saw that justice must be done. And he had a new vision, a vision to help the poor. Instead of being a greedy grabber, he became a generous giver. Now, how did Zacchaeus know to do that? Because it's his immediate reaction, isn't it, in verse 8? Look, Lord, here and now I'm going to do this. How did he know to do that? Well, he would have had the Old Testament law from childhood. And the Old Testament law tells us, for example, in Deuteronomy 15, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards the poor. I command you to be open-handed towards the poor and needy in your land. And many other law references, and all the prophets spoke about looking after the vulnerable and the needy and the poor. So Zacchaeus would have known this from his background. But it's one thing knowing what the Bible teaches, that the Bible teaches this stuff. It's one thing to know that, but it's another thing to have perfection itself in your house telling you what you should do. And the very presence of the completely just, perfect man in the house of Zacchaeus made Zacchaeus realize what he had to do. It convicted him of his sin. And maybe Jesus was talking about this and saying, Zacchaeus, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and money. Make your choice. I make my choice. Look, Lord, here and now, I choose you over money. And that's a sure sign of salvation. When someone begins to give away their money to the Lord and to needy people, something's happened to them. And Zacchaeus became one of the most generous people in the whole world. You know, when Jesus enters your life, nothing stays the same. Things change. You change. And you become concerned about justice and the vulnerable and the poor and the needy. And you want to do the right thing. Listen to some of the ways that you change when you become a Christian. Let me read them to you from Ephesians chapter 4. Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, therefore, you're no longer darkness, but you are light in the Lord. So a great change has come into your life. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. That changes, you see. When you become a Christian, your life changes and you stop speaking falsely and start speaking truthfully. And Paul goes on to say that anyone who's been stealing must steal no longer, but must work doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. That's what happens when someone becomes a Christian. They stop stealing and start giving to those in need. It's just what Zacchaeus did, isn't it? Ephesians 4. And then Paul says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And that changes as well. Instead of pulling people down with your words and destroying people with your words and damaging people with your words, because words can really hurt, instead of doing that, we change in order to encourage and build people up with our words. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 4 and he says, since you are now light in the Lord, you're Christians, you get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slander, along with every form of malice. That goes. And then be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other. Just as in Christ, God forgave you. That starts happening. Once you become the Christian, once Jesus comes into your life, you want justice, you want mercy, you want humility, and you start forgiving people. Instead of seeking to take revenge and get your own back and pay them back, you start having compassion and forgiving people. The Christian is a woman who forgives. The Christian is a man who does not take revenge. Zacchaeus changes. Everything about him changes. And he begins to act justly. Why? Because finally we see Zacchaeus is a saved man. In verse 9, Jesus says, today, salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. That's what Jesus says. This is what salvation looks like, Jesus says. If you want a picture of salvation, look at Zacchaeus. This seeker who's a sinner, who climbs this tree, who wants to see me, meets me, his life is changed. That's the sellotape. We've got sellotape around this. Would you believe to hold it on? Yeah, okay. I won't move. And I've forgotten where I was. But salvation has come to the house. And Jesus loves mercy. Today, salvation has come to this house. And Jesus stops, goes to see him, and saves him. Though Zacchaeus didn't deserve it, there's nothing about Zacchaeus that deserves salvation, is there? Not one thing. He loved money, not God. He robbed people out of their money. And he was a callous, cruel man. Not one thing should endear him to God. But listen, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Zacchaeus has something more than money could ever buy. He has salvation. And so the purpose of Jesus is fulfilled in verse 10. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's why Jesus came to earth on a search and rescue mission. I've come to save people. And Jesus did that. He saves the poor, rich people, like Zacchaeus. He saves the poor, needy adulterers, like the woman of Samaria. He saves poor, needy sinners, like me and like you. And it was Jesus' love of mercy that made him do that, by ultimately not just going into the house of Zacchaeus to save him, but going to a cross on Calvary. For that is actually how our sins are forgiven, by Jesus stretching out his arms and willingly, in our place, dying. That Zacchaeus' sins can be taken away, and mine and yours, and that we can also say, salvation has come to me. You were made for more than money. You were made for God, and Jesus has come to bring you back to God. Amen.